Broadcasting from Manhattan Beach and the World Wide Web, you're listening to CHSR, HealthyLife.net.
As a service to our listeners, this program is for general information and entertainment purposes only. CHSRHealthyLife.net does not recommend, endorse, or object to the views, products, or topics expressed or discussed by show hosts or their guests. We suggest you always consult with your own personal, medical, financial, or legal advisor.
Hello, welcome to Authors Beyond Words. I'm your host, Richard Cohn, publisher of Beyond Words Publishing, and today I have the pleasure of introducing you to Letao Wang. Letao is a professional astrologist, a tarot specialist, and founder and spiritual counselor of the Healing Kingdom. Letao is based in Hong Kong, and he has been providing astrology, tarot, and numerology readings for clients both locally in Hong Kong and overseas for the past 8 years. He is also currently the astrology columnist for Hong Kong Living magazine. Letao takes pride in holding space for emotional support and self-empowerment in his readings, teaching his clients how to access their innate wisdom in order to amplify one's personal power and intuition. If you would like to learn more, you can go to Letao's website at thehealingkingdom.com. Welcome, Letao. It's wonderful to be with you today.
Hello, Richard. Thanks very much for having me.
As a spiritual counselor and professional astrologist, you've been helping clients access their intuition and individual power for over 8 years. How do tarot and oracle readings support this work?
Right. So I do see tarot and oracle readings as powerful tools that I usually use to support my clients in accessing their intuition and their personal power. I tend to focus on these powerful tools more often during the first half of the session, which I call the stage of diagnosis, before I move on to the counseling, where I will combine my esoteric studies and counseling skills throughout the therapeutic process. Personally, I believe that reading acts as a mirror. They reflect the inner workings of the self and illuminating the subconscious patterns that shape our experiences. For me, specifically, tarot is effective in revealing the dynamics at play in our lives. They offer insights into our past influences, our present circumstances, and also potential future outcomes. And with oracle cards, on the other hand, the session can provide a more direct, specific message, acting as a divine guidance system, which offers immediate clarity on the client's personal questions or dilemmas. And one of the other methods that I use in our session is, which is also the most important, I believe, is astrology. As we all know, that astrology is the foundation of most esoteric studies. And when we study tarot, oracle cards, or even numerology and mythology, I think we can always find their origins in astrology. And all of these different ways we use are based on the hermetic concept of as above, so below, as within, so without, to interpret the relationships between celestial bodies and human life. And I think this implies that the patterns and movements occurring in the cosmos are mirrored here on the earth, in our lives, in our characters, and in our destinies. Thus, I think in my spiritual counseling sessions, by studying the positions and the aspects of our heavenly bodies, or by analyzing the card messages put by a client, I can gain insight into the subtle forces at play in our lives. And as a result of this celestial symmetry, astrology and card reading can offer a framework through which we can better understand ourselves and navigate the complexities of life.
sometimes we hear that Mercury is in retrograde. Can mm-hmm. you share with our listeners what that means?
All right. So it really depends on where you're watching Mercury. If we're watching Mercury from the position of the Sun, all planets are going in the same direction. They don't go backward. However, because we live on the Earth, and from our angle, except for the Sun and the Moon, all other planets would look like they are moving backward sometimes. And for Mercury, it retrogrades most often, and that's why in the spiritual community, we tend to talk about Mercury retrograde a lot. And pretty much Mercury would retrograde around, let's say, about three times per year, and each retrograde would last about 3 weeks. And if you include the shadow period, it will extend to 4 to 5 weeks, actually. And in ancient Roman and Greek mythology, Mercury, or Hermes, its Greek counterpart, is the god of communication and travel. And so, in astrologically speaking, when we see a planet moving backward in the sky, it's almost like the energy that it carries moves backward. And that's the reason why a lot of the astrologers would suggest that during Mercury retrograde, we should slow down and we should not push forward things too harsh. And, we have to plan things ahead and try not to, be careful with, for example, travel problems and, read your email three times before you send it out, things like that. Yeah. And personally, because Mercury rules two specific zodiac signs, it rules Gemini and it rules Virgo. And so for people who have planets in those two signs, I think this might play a more important role in their lives. Yeah.
So during times of Mercury in retrograde, is it good to sign contracts or negotiate transactions?
Generally speaking, the answer is no. However, retrograde is very good for review. So because it's retrograde, right? So any action with the RE at the beginning, that's nice. So for example, maybe it's not good to start a project, but it's good to review a project. For example, it might be not good to sign a contract, but it might be a good time. Let's say the contract was discussed before and it was signed once, but now there's something wrong and we need to redo it. That could be a very good time to work on that during Mercury retrograde.
And if we see that that things are not going exactly the way we thought they should or would, maybe it's a good time to look and listen and review.
Correct. Yeah. Yeah. And so usually every year, around the end of the year, I would, study the calendar, and I would see, okay, so from which day to which day Mercury is in retrograde. And usually, let's say when I have a client coming to me for their counseling session, and based on their questions, I would give them the information, especially if they come to me right before the Mercury retrograde time and they want to ask about signing a contract or, start an important project. Yeah.
So are there, as an astrologer, when you're doing counseling, are there certain astrological signs that are better suited to be in relationships with, like in a marriage or?
So each zodiac sign carries its unique energy, right? So one of the typical things that people would say they would say, for example, Libra is a relationship sign, and you know they are very good at, you know, for example, forming relationships, maintaining relationships, etc., etc. And if we really delve deeply into astrology, and we understand that astrology is much more complex than what a sign is about, well, it is true that, for example, Libra is a symbol of relationship, because Libra's symbol is a scale. It's you put something on the left and something on the right, and you try to balance that. So people who have a lot of planets located in Libra, they tend to look at the same thing from different angles. They don't just go one way, and that is why they might be more they might understand relationships better than other signs, because relationships at the end of the day is not about what I want to do, but it's more about I want to do this, but what about you? I want to have this, do you agree? And I also want to see what you want. And so in that sense, it is a relationship sign. But it doesn't mean that they're necessarily, all the Libras are good in doing that. Because we also have to look at, what planets are in Libra for them. And if this planet is having any challenging or any, on the contrary, easy aspects with other planets. Let's say, for example, if their moon sign is in Libra, this means that emotionally speaking, they need harmony and they need relationships. They need someone else to be there in order for them to feel secure. And that's why moon sign in Libra people are very relationship prone. But is their moon having nice angles or having easy angles with other planets? And this will determine how they feel when they pursue relationships. For example, if their moon sign is having a very good angle with their sun sign, let's say their moon sign in Libra and their sun sign is in Gemini, and these two planets are forming a triangle, which is showing the smooth transition or the smooth bridge, between the two planets. And possibly this client might have been raised in a family where they have very good parents. Their parents have great relationships, and the parents have set a great example for them, and to tell them what kind of relationship they should have in the future. And the sun and moon in harmony also shows the very balanced masculine and feminine energy in them. And so that could be a good thing for them to form relationships. But for some clients, maybe their moon sign in Libra is forming a square or opposition with, let's say, Saturn. And Saturn tends to bring restrictions and limitations, sometimes a little bit self-censorship to us. And so people having this aspects in their chart, maybe in the childhood, maybe they experienced a fear of expressing their desire to be with other people. Maybe they experienced some sense of abandonment when it comes to the Libra energy. So when they grow up as adults, they still need that emotional security through a relationship, because their moon sign is still in Libra, but sometimes they might have a little bit issue with expressing that desire because of that Saturn square.
That is fascinating. And this would be then true for, there would be these kinds of aspects in every astrological sign as well.
Absolutely, yeah. And I find it quite interesting when a client sits in front of me, and what is interesting about, I think this also, sets me a little bit different from a lot of the astrologers, because I look at their chart, but I don't really just tell them this is what's happening. I really want them to talk about their challenges and difficulties first. And then by listening to them, at the same time, I'm looking at their chart. And, it is like what I said earlier, in as above, so below, as within, so without. It's almost like a mirror. The chart in front of me is mirroring, the clients, sitting in front of me talking. And that's a fascinating thing to observe, yeah.
That is, and it gives you then the ability to help, as you counsel them, to help guide them on the path that they've chosen in life.
Right, yeah.
What sets you apart from most astrologists today?
So, as I mentioned earlier, I think most traditional astrology sessions are more like a one-way communication. It's a little bit like a client would go to an astrologer, and it's almost like they play a more passive role in the session. And so they sit down, and the astrologer will start talking for, let's say, 30 minutes, 45 minutes, an hour, and that's it. And for me, that was also, to be honest, initially how I was trained, because I was not trained by a counselor. In my early days, I was trained by a fortune teller in Australia. And I, you know, that's where I learned my predictive techniques and, you know, my foundations about astrology and, you know, more on that, you know, the technical side of a reading. But the interesting thing is, the more I do readings, the more I realize that the predictive nature is far less important. And although, you know, I'm happy to deliver it if that's all what the clients want. But instead, I think it was the counseling aspect, the therapeutic value that my sessions offer, and they truly resonated with and benefited my clients. And I think this revelation I had a few years ago was so profound that it inspired me to further my education, which later led to led me to pursue my second master's degree in counseling psychology at Monash University. Because I thought, you know, I can't just counsel clients without the actual training as a counselor. And so now, I think here's the difference. I don't consider doing a one-way reading is wrong, but my session is less fortune-telling, but more counseling. And both me and my clients are focusing more on the two-way communication to achieve deeper understanding. And I will say that this approach of mine beautifully marries the two disciplines, creating this unique blend of astrological insight and the psychotherapeutic counseling part. And this is the reason why I've chosen to name my practice the Healing Kingdom. This is the place where healing and therapy takes precedence, and where astrology is more than just predictions. It is a tool for understanding, for growth, and for our overall well-being.
Do you find that when you are sitting with a client, that you have, or working with a client over the phone or in a Zoom call, do you have at times an intuitive sense of what is going on for that client?
For some clients, I can have a very strong, let's say, psychic connection with them. But it doesn't work with every client. For some clients, I think it also depends on the chemistry between me and the client. For some clients, it's very, I can just get to the point right away. For some clients, especially for clients who are, if this it's their first experience, they don't know what to expect, and they are still a little bit hesitant about whether they should be doing this session or not. So, you know, they might hold themselves back a lot, right? They might not be very communicative. And they're waiting to, it's a little bit like waiting for me to open the door first. And so that they know they can also trust me in this session. But I would say most of the time, the therapeutic connection, the relationship is built, and usually we can actually build that throughout the first 10 to 15 minutes, then the session would be more smooth. Not just for me, but also for the clients. The most challenging, I would say, time would be someone who actually does not want to be there. But, for example, I had this experience where, so this lady, she is a regular client of mine, and she really, you know, enjoys her reading session with me, and she wants to bring her husband to the session. She wants me to do a reading for her husband. But her husband was just not into, you know, spirituality at all. So she, kind of like she dragged her husband into the session, and she said, you know, can you just do a session for him? And my husband was not, you know, keen. And so it was very hard to do the session because you can imagine, you know, you can't do counseling when someone doesn't want to be counseled. And so usually I would say for these kind of sessions, it will be less productive. And even, you know, and also the thing is you can't have a two-way communication. Because they will not talk. They will not, talk about their feelings, their thinking pattern, you know, their thought patterns and their process. They just sit there and be like, okay, you know, do whatever you need to do. Are we finished? You know, something like that. And so that would be, and I would say if, you know, we feel like that, probably it means we are not ready for a counseling session. Yeah. That would be the most challenging sessions, yeah, I think, for me.
And you mentioned that in some cases, when you're with a client, you actually can have a sense of their future might be like. Maybe when we can talk about that in a little bit, that I think everyone would love to know that.
100%, yeah.
Everyone loves Oracle cards. They make great gifts for you or anyone, and I know where you can get the best ones. BeyondWord.com. These decks are created by top visionaries with beautiful, unique, original artwork. With over 20 beautiful card decks and easy-to-understand guidebooks from angels to spirit animals, there is certainly one deck or more that calls out to you. These visionary decks are fun, filled with wisdom, and can give you insight. So visit BeyondWord.com. Go to Product, Type, and click on Cards. It's so much fun. Do it now. BeyondWord.com.
Picture this. It's Saturday night, and you want to watch a film. Not one of those violent blood and guts film, but one that makes you feel good or become spiritually aware or gives you information in a thought-provoking way. That's when you visit Beyond Words Publishing. They have these films. Get videos on demand, buy DVDs, or even get information on how to host a movie screening for your community. Visit BeyondWord.com and explore their videos and their new release, Cat People. Saturday night just got better. BeyondWord.com.
Get a second chance at life at any age. Turn your life around to be happy, successful, and fulfilled. It's an easy step-by-step process with Michael Clinton's new book, Roar Into the Second Half of Your Life. Reimagine yourself, own who you are, act on what's next, and reassess relationships. All to roar into the second half of your life, which is the name of the book. Get your copy of Roar Into the Second Half of Your Life by Michael Clinton at BeyondWord.com, Amazon.com, or order it from any bookstore. Go ahead and roar. You deserve it. Remember this name, Beyond Words Publishing. If you remember the best-selling book, The Secret, then you already know Beyond Words Publishing. For the last 36 years, they've been publishing the best metaphysical, spiritual, and self-help material. So here's the real secret. You always get the best books, audio, and film direct from Beyond Words Publishing. Visit their website, BeyondWord.com, or call 503-531-8700. They'll accept all major credit cards and PayPal. So visit BeyondWord.com.
Uplifting Talk, HealthyLife.net.
Earlier in our conversation, you mentioned how, like, Tarot can offer insights and Oracle cards can give very specific things. Are there things that you're able to see and that you share with your clients that might be part of what you see for their future?
Usually during the initial diagnosis stage, there are certain tools that I would use just to understand what is happening with the client and what's their perhaps their history. Yeah, what has led to what is happening with the client now. And there are certain spread that I use with Oracle cards and Tarot to open that door. And I call that specific spread the crack the egg open. And it's a very simple spread that I use. It's not really specifically for any questions from the client, but it's just to look at what the client is going through, what's their focus, what's their deep motivation, what must change or evolve in them, and also what they are doing really well at. And I think that usually is the initial part when I do a reading for a client, especially if a client says, can you just tell me something in general? Like, I might have specific questions later, but can you just, you know, tell me something more in general about, you know, my energy and things like that? And that's usually the go-to spread when I use tarot and oracle cards, yeah.
Your new deck, the Oracle of the Mythic Heroes, is absolutely beautiful.
Thank you.
I feel blessed to have, I think this might be copy number one in my hands.
Really? Wow, I'm so honored to hear that, yeah.
That came from the printer, and what impressed me so much is how not only are the cards beautiful and the messages very powerful, but the book that you've put together, the guidebook that accompanies this, 256 pages, filled with amazing information. I mean, I think any client is going to be able to take time and digest this and really understand a lot about themselves just by pulling a card and reading.
Thank you so much. I mean, it's I also feel very fortunate to, you know, have been able to, you know, work with you guys, and you know, I've had a lot of support from Bailey and from Michelle and all the editors, you know, this is like a dream come true. I've always been an avid fan of Greek and Roman mythology, and having this deck of cards published in the States and globally, it's really, yeah, it's a huge deal to me, and I can't wait for more people to read this book and to use the oracle cards as their daily guidance.
If you would allow me to spread the cards out and pull a card, I'll do so for our listeners.
And absolutely, yeah.
So I've pulled Orpheus, healing.
Orpheus, okay. Wow, this is this is one of my favorite characters in Greek and Roman mythology, actually. First of all, I don't know if our audience know who Orpheus is. He is a legendary figure in Greek mythology, known for his extraordinary musical talent. And I think his image sends a powerful spiritual message about healing and the power of love. First of all, if we read the story, and even before his loss of his wife, Eurydice, he never really played his lyre for entertainment purposes or attention. In astrology, creativity and performance, these two things are actually ruled by the constellation sign of Leo, because Leo symbolizes our desire to take the center stage, be in the limelight, and get the attention and applause that we need. It's a little bit like I'm standing in the center of the stage and all eyes on me. But in this book, in the Oracle of the Mythic Heroes, we can see the ruling zodiac for Orpheus is not Leo. It's Cancer, written on the first page. And Cancer is water, it's an emotional sign. And this is the reason why Orpheus' music was not about being showy or entertaining, but it was more about being about love, about being nurturing and protective. And we can also see his participation in the Argonauts with Jason, and later his assistance to Odysseus in Homer's Iliad and Odyssey in Greek mythology. His musical instrument, the lyre, was more like his weapon to protect his friends and allies from the harm of the Sirens. And the most important story about him was his journey into the underworld to save his wife, Eurydice. He dared to venture into the underworld for the love of his life, Eurydice, And the story teaches us about the depths we're willing to traverse for healing, love, and transformation. Mm. I think this tale encourages our personal healing by urging us to confront our fears, because the underworld is scary. We need to face the darkness and shadows in us to bring back the light, much like Orpheus and his journey to see Hades. Now, we can also learn from this failed attempt, because at the end, he couldn't save Eurydice from the darkness, because he looked back at the soul of Eurydice despite Hades warned him. So why? I think because he couldn't trust. On the surface level, it was about him not trusting Hades. But metaphorically, I think it was about him not trusting himself, as I believe the underworld is the symbol of our deepest subconsciousness. So I think when it comes to healing, his story also prompts us to question ourselves. What can we not trust, and where does that come from?
Mm. Well, I'll have to read more, because you've opened up many thoughts in me as I'm pulling that card.
Yeah, I really think that this is, you know, the reason why I love this story so much is because it's just so powerful. It's not just about, you know, a hero, you know, saving his wife, but it's more about his whole life, you know. And actually, there was also stories after his failed attempt to save his wife. He was banned from going to the underworld ever again because he couldn't trust Hades, what Hades said to him. And he lost the opportunity to save his wife. But he also refused to marry anyone else in the future. He only, you know, after his attempt to save his wife, he was only in his 20s. Yeah, and so, you know, and this part of him, you know, refusing to fall in love with someone else also shows, you know, maybe our deepest fear to fall in love again, to be hurt again. So I really believe that his story resonated with a lot of us, especially for people who have been wounded in relationships or in our love life.
Yes, that is so true for, I think, probably for everyone.
Yeah.
Get a second chance at life at any age. Turn your life around to be happy, successful, and fulfilled. It's an easy step-by-step process with Michael Clinton's new book, Roar Into the Second Half of Your Life. Reimagine yourself, own who you are, act on what's next, and reassess relationships, all to roar into the second half of your life, which is the name of the book. Get your copy of Roar Into the Second Half of Your Life by Michael Clinton at beyondword.com, amazon.com, or order it from any bookstore. Go ahead and roar. You deserve it.
Picture this. It's Saturday night and you want to watch a film. Not one of those violent blood and guts film, but one that makes you feel good or become spiritually aware or gives you information in a thought-provoking way. That's when you visit Beyond Words Publishing. They have these films. Get videos on demand, buy DVDs, or even get information on how to host a movie screening for your community. Visit beyondword.com and explore their videos and their new release, Cat People. Saturday night just got better. BeyondWord.com.
Remember this name, Beyond Words Publishing. If you remember the best-selling book, The Secret, then you already know Beyond Words Publishing. For the last 36 years, they've been publishing the best metaphysical, spiritual, and self-help material. So here's the real secret. You always get the best books, audio, and film direct from Beyond Words Publishing. Visit their website, BeyondWord.com, or call 503-531-8700. They'll accept all major credit cards and PayPal. So visit beyondword.com. Everyone loves Oracle cards. They make great gifts for you or anyone, and I know where you can get the best ones. Beyondword.com. These decks are created by top visionaries with beautiful, unique, original artwork. With over 20 beautiful card decks and easy-to-understand guidebooks from angels to spirit animals, there is certainly one deck or more that calls out to you. These visionary decks are fun, filled with wisdom, and can give you insight. So visit BeyondWord.com. Go to Product, Type, and click on Cards. It's so much fun. Do it now. BeyondWord.com.
You're listening to HealthyLife.net, the radio network that brings positive talk with positive change to make your world a little better.
you said, Latao, many people have been wounded in relationship, or at least they think they have been.
Right.
How would you counsel someone in that regard?
I think this, usually this comes to that counseling part. And so when we look at people's relationship issues, to be honest, I think it really depends on what type of relationship problems they have. But the first thing I would try to do with the clients is to ask them to raise questions about why they perceive their situation in a certain way and what made them feel that way. And sometimes it has a lot to deal with their history. It's not about the person that they're dealing with now, but it has a lot to deal with, for example, their relationship histories, which, you know, gave them the so-called habit that they do, or, you know, or their, even their reactions. For some clients, it traces back to their childhood, about the family that they grew up in. And I think this is a very common thing psychologists and counselors will do in a traditional, let's say, counseling session. But we want to know where the root is. And usually when we get the clients to talk about their history, without us really giving the diagnosis, most of the time the clients would be able to understand that themselves. And they will come to this, you can call that a realization or an epiphany about why they are feeling this way. And they will, sometimes they will say, I think this has a lot to deal with, you know, my mother, or, you know, this has a lot to deal with the first boyfriend or the girlfriend that I had, et cetera, et cetera. And sometimes actually, you know, just to get them to open up, once that door is open, actually one session is not enough. I had a client 2 days ago, it's a male client, who, when I was looking at his chart, my heart was aching because it was a very challenging chart filled with squares and oppositions and aspects between his planet. Especially, he had a little bit, you know, vulnerable Venus position in the chart. And his question was about his relationship with his wife. It has always been difficult. But the first thing I asked him was, tell me a little bit more about your past relationships. And, I mean, I was not surprised to hear that. And he was actually, he grew up in a family that is quite dysfunctional. His father was an alcoholic, and his mother was always absent. And so he pretty much grew up in loneliness, and he was also the oldest child, the eldest child in the family, so he had to be responsible for everything. And so you can imagine when someone, as a child, when he never really received unconditional love, and so when he grew up as an adult, as a man, he sometimes he does not know how to express love, and sometimes he also does not know how to receive love unconditionally because it's just very unnatural to him. And so during that kind of sessions, we want to help the client to understand the root and the cause. And also by that kind of, through that realization, we can advise what kind of, let's say, therapy that they need. Now, do they need talk therapy? Do they need to do daily journaling for reflection? Do they need to go to a group environment for, you know, with a little bit more social interaction with other patients, et cetera, et cetera? Yeah.
That's very interesting because you've given insight into some tools that people can use, such as journaling or group sessions. Are there
right.
other things that you also recommend?
Well, I think, first of all, journaling is a very powerful habit, powerful tool, yeah? Or, you know, we can make it a habit in our life. I personally do journaling very often. There's another thing that I tell a lot of my clients do. Some of them find it quite weird, but I like it a lot. It's a mirror talk. And I know it sounds very awkward, right? But I think it's a very important thing that we do on a daily basis. It's very simple. Basically, every morning or every evening, we will brush our teeth, I'll wash our face, we're in the bathroom. And I think all of us should take a minute just to look at us in the mirror and maybe talk to us for a minute or so and tell us about ourselves and tell us how proud we are of ourselves. And the interesting thing is, we don't, as children, maybe they get praise or that they get validation from adults all the time. But once, well, we grow up, we don't get that. When we go through our daily operation, nobody is constantly at our ear telling us that, you've done a great job. I'm so proud of you. You are loved. Nobody says that. And so, and we're so used to not hearing those things. And that's why, sometimes, I feel the same. When someone suddenly praises me, I feel a little bit uncomfortable. It's almost like, stop it. I don't need to, it's okay. I don't need to hear all these kind of sweet words, right? And sometimes I reflect on that. Why am I uncomfortable hearing that? Because I never hear that, And I think for most of us, we don't hear that, especially in Chinese culture. I don't know if you know about this. Chinese parents never say, I love you, to their children. It doesn't mean that they don't love their children. It's our culture. We don't think we need to say it. The best thing a Chinese parent can do for their children is to cook them a beautiful, delicious food. Put it on a table and say, hey, eat. That's their token of love. And so I think this mirror talk is a very important practice. We need to actually verbally tell ourselves what we are proud of. And telling ourselves that we have done great. Telling ourselves that today it's been a tough day, but you handled it really well. Sometimes we can also tell ourselves that it's okay that we made a mistake. Today I didn't handle a situation very well. I was already emotional, and it's okay. And because it was hard for me, so I forgive you, but tomorrow you will do better. Things like that. And, this also relates to, one of the chapters in the Oracle of the Mystic Heroes, and that's the chapter about Medusa. Because Medusa was conquered by a hero called Perseus through a very beautifully polished mirror or a shield given to him by Athena. And because of this shield, with this reflection of Medusa, and she was killed by Perseus, and what we want to do is to conquer this this Medusa in us. And Medusa sometimes is representing that fear in us and that negative patterns, self-loathing, because that's the ugly part in us. And by reflecting, by looking to the mirror, we'll be able to force that inner fear to face itself. And by communicating our positive energy to ourselves, and I think that would help us understand why we feel our feelings in certain ways and how we can overcome them.
That is truly tremendous. I just I made some notes for myself. I think listeners.
Yeah. And what's very interesting? I got a client who didn't have a mirror at home. So I said, you have a phone, right? So, you can use your smartphone, and then you can see yourself in the astral reflection in the phone. So, yeah, there are many ways we can do that. Yeah.
Everyone loves Oracle cards. They make great gifts for you or anyone, and I know where you can get the best ones. BeyondWord.com. These decks are created by top visionaries with beautiful, unique, original artwork. With over 20 beautiful card decks and easy-to-understand guidebooks from angels to spirit animals, there is certainly one deck or more that calls out to you. These visionary decks are fun, filled with wisdom, and can give you insight. So visit BeyondWord.com. Go to Products, Type, and click on Cards. It's so much fun. Do it now. BeyondWord.com. Get a second chance at life at any age. Turn your life around to be happy, successful, and fulfilled. It's an easy step-by-step process with Michael Clinton's new book, Roar Into the Second Half of Your Life. Reimagine yourself, own who you are, act on what's next, and reassess relationships, all to roar into the second half of your life, which is the name of the book. Get your copy of Roar Into the Second Half of Your Life by Michael Clinton at BeyondWord.com, Amazon.com, or order it from any bookstore. Go ahead and roar. You deserve it.
Picture this. It's Saturday night, and you want to watch a film. Not one of those violent blood and guts film, but one that makes you feel good, or become spiritually aware, or gives you information in a thought-provoking way. That's when you visit Beyond Words Publishing. They have these films. Get videos on demand, buy DVDs, or even get information on how to host a movie screening for your community. Visit BeyondWord.com and explore their videos and their new release, Cat People. Saturday night just got better. BeyondWord.com.
Remember this name, Beyond Words Publishing. If you remember the best-selling book, The Secret, then you already know Beyond Words Publishing. For the last 36 years, they've been publishing the best metaphysical, spiritual, and self-help material. So here's the real secret. You always get the best books, audio, and film direct from Beyond Words Publishing. Visit their website, beyondword.com, or call 503-531-8700. They'll accept all major credit cards and PayPal. So visit beyondword.com.
Where positive people and radio unite. HealthyLife.net.
Latao, in your new deck, The Oracle of the Mythic Heroes, you combine astrology, crystals, zodiac signs, Greek and Roman mythology, and much more. How would you say that each of these divination tools are connected, and how they work together?
Yeah. So I think each of these tools, though unique in their own methodology and cultural roots, they are intricately interconnected through a shared objective, which is to offer guidance, introspection, and a deeper understanding of the self and the universe. For example, astrology and zodiac signs tend to map out our personality traits, our strengths, our challenges, based on the celestial patterns. Well, for crystals, they harness the energy of the earth to bring balance and clarity. So you can see astrology and crystals mirror each other just like the sky and the earth. And mythology, especially from the Greek and Roman cultures, for me, they provide us with a time-tested wisdom through the stories, narratives, and the personified deities. They are filled with complex characters, intricate relationships that delve deeply into our human psychology. And I think these stories often illustrate some kind of universal themes of human behavior and mindset. For example, they could be the struggle between the good and the evil, the pursuit of power, and the complexities of love. And by studying these narratives, I believe we can gain insight into the human condition, and they help us understand our emotions, our actions, and also motivations better. Now, specifically in Oracle, the Mythic Heroes, the gods, the heroes, and the mythical creatures, which are carefully selected, they embody different aspects of our psyche, and they can be used as powerful symbols in our psychoanalytic studies. And so when we combine astrology, crystals, and mythology together, they can create a very comprehensive toolkit for self-discovery and spiritual growth. If I may use an analogy, I think they coexist like notes in a symphony, and each part plays their unique part, but together they form a harmonious melody that guides us on our path.
So what valuable insights will readers find in the historical stories of Greek and Roman mythology or in the heroes of their signs?
Well, So Greek and Roman mythologies are extremely rich, right, in their narrative and symbolism. And the stories of the heroic feats and the divine interventions, all these stories in Oracle of the Mythic Heroes, they provide readers with an understanding of the human condition, exploring themes such as honor, bravery. Let's say bravery is related to the zodiac sign of Aries in the first three chapters. And love, this is in the chapter of Pisces. Betrayal, this is in the chapter of Scorpio, which is related to Medea, and also sacrifice, which is also in Pisces chapter for Patroclus. The heroes depicted in these themes, in the myth, in the book, they serve as archetypes, actually. They reflect the virtues and the vices that are inherent in humanity. So by delving into these ancient stories, I believe readers will be able to gain a greater appreciation of the complexities of our human nature and the timeless nature of our shared human experiences.
How do these cards in your deck, the Oracle of Mythic Heroes, how do these cards bridge a relationship between our physical being and our intuitive self?
Well, because these archetypes, the heroes, they're actually, they are archetypes there. And we all, I think in our life, we all carry a lot of different kind of archetypes when we deal with specific situations. These mythic heroes serve as a powerful channel, between our, the so-called physical being and the intuitive self. And they stimulate our subconscious mind, bring forth the insight and guidance often overlooked in our daily lives. And so I think, for example, when we pull the cards on a daily basis, we can get a symbolic message of the card. And we'll be able to engage in a dynamic conversation with our inner selves and asking us what we need to explore, how we're feeling, what our thoughts. And I think this helps to cultivate a strong alignment between our physical actions and our intuitive guidance. Thus, they promote our personal growth and also self-awareness. I would incorporate this into my daily journaling. And so apart from writing about, my own reflection on a daily basis, I would draw a card from the deck and I'll ask, I might not have a specific question, but I just want to know, what do I need to know today so that I can be more productive, I can feel happy, and I can avoid unnecessary mistakes. And so this could be, when we make that a habit, I think this can really help us and guide us throughout the day. The message might not be something that can, completely change our lives. That kind of daily message is just a very helpful tool for us to navigate throughout our daily operation.
So it's a habit that can produce very healthy results.
100%, absolutely. And I remember just recently I had a I was doing the a card pull, and I pulled a card related to Venus, actually, and that's actually a card from the next Oracle deck that is coming out in June, which is called Oracle of the Celestial Deities. And I put the card called Venus, and I was thinking, Venus is a goddess of love and beauty, so what does that mean to me? And then later I went to the gym, and on that day there was a lot of people in the gym, and sometimes because people go to the gym, they don't really chat, they don't really talk. They just do their own thing, and then they leave. And then suddenly that card that I put in the morning, Venus, came up, because Venus is about relationship. So I was thinking maybe this card asked me to be more friendly, to actually talk to the people that I see on a daily basis. And surprisingly, I tried to be more friendly and more a little bit more open and more talkative on that day, and I made some good friends on that day. like what I said, some of these messages, they are not life-changing, but it really helps you and gives you some kind of small opportunities to form new connections and to find, you know, that kind of little small happiness, here and there.
It sounds like and looks like your deck is a gift that keeps on giving.
100%, yeah. Yeah, I believe so, yeah.
So as you, for our listeners, when they have a chance to see your deck and perhaps own your deck, when they start taking this step of pulling a card each day and asking, what do I need to know today, and then pulling the card, it's not uncommon to actually find behavior changing and things happening that one would not have expected.
Yeah, and I really feel that that's really the ultimate purpose of using an oracle deck, yeah, and because that's the guidance, and then according to that guidance, we can reflect on our own behavior, our future actions. And the wish and the hope that I have when I made this deck was to really be able to help our readers, our audience, to find that little help on a daily basis, so that this, you know, then it's all worth it, right? To study mythology, to study astrology, eventually have to help with our practical and the daily life.
Well, I'm just thrilled to have this opportunity to be with you today, and I know our listeners will as well. And for everyone who would like to know more, Letao's website is thehealingkingdom.com. And as you heard in this past hour, he has an amazing wealth of tools and information to share. And I think everyone will benefit by getting to know you and having the opportunity to work with you.
Thank you very much, Richard. I really look forward to meeting more of my audience and my clients, and hopefully I'll be able to provide sessions to them as well. And I hope that they enjoy reading the book.
I know they will, because I certainly have. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much, Richard.